What's up, Stu?
What's up, Kevin?
What are we talking about today?
Today, we're talking about what to do when you are struggling and facing uncertainty. So let's define that.
Yeah. Well, struggling, I think, can come in a lot of different ways, but you just feel pain, you feel unhappy, perhaps even unsatisfied with where you're at. And layered on top of that, you're uncertain. So you just don't know and don't feel confident as to what's going to happen next.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you think about that? Did I hit it on the nail?
I think you hit it on the nail. Right. It's basically you've hit a wall.
Yeah.
And also you have fears about what's behind that wall.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to cross that, you know,
or
a bridge, a wall or a bridge or a plateau.
Yeah.
And
with this question, I want to kind of precursor this.
Yeah, let's kind of define and precursor. Yeah.
I want to precursor this is, A, I think we're all still trying to figure it out. At least for me personally, I'm still trying to figure it out. But I think what I'm going to share on this episode is more of like, hey, this is my experience and this is what I've done to kind of somewhat help me get through that.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to precursor with that, you know, I may still be on the same page as you are and just trying to figure it out.
Yeah, we're by no means like we're 25, so we haven't figured out life yet. Anyone who thinks that they figured out life at any age, I think, is making a big, big assumption. And what we're really trying to do is just share our previous failures, I guess, our previous experiences.
And relate to you.
And our current fears. And perhaps maybe some of it will stick, some of it may not.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all in the hopes and the attempts to help other people who are in the same predicament, which I'm sure there are, to kind of break past that barrier or at least have a little bit of guidance that we personally wish we would have had
mm-hmm.
when we were probably going through
that specific situation.
The specific situation or what we're still going through right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it'll be good to share some experiences. I mean, have you had any recent or previous like moments where you're like really, really struggling and you're super uncertain? You didn't know what you wanted to do in the future. You felt a lot of pain.
100%. I think my whole life has been like a like a whole roller coaster of this.
Yeah.
I think there are moments, but let's just talk about my most recent one, the most relevant one.
Okay.
I recently had left a company that I worked for I think 3.5 years. And 3.5 years is a long amount of time, you know, especially at this company in specific.
Mm-hmm.
I love this company, and this company is none other than Tesla. And it's a company that I'm extremely proud of. And it's a company that I've put a lot of hard work into, like a lot of sacrifice. And the reason why I had to leave the company was more of a personal reason than so much had to do with the company. It was more so I felt I had hit a plateau. I've reached a wall of what I could achieve. I set out goals and I've tried to obtain the goals. And I just felt like even if I were to obtain more and more and accomplish more, I'm not learning more. And so I think that's a really important guiding principle, at least for me, is when you feel you've got nothing left to really learn at a huge level, you know, at a huge leap, that's when it's time to step back and reassess if the work is worth the return, you know, at that point. Because otherwise you're just doing the same thing over and over again, then you're not getting better. And I know that deep down, on some level, we all want to get better in one way, shape, or form. And that's kind of what I went through. And what I learned after leaving...
What was like the biggest struggle at that moment?
The biggest... I'm going to tell you, I was so mortified and so terrified about what my family would have thought about me putting it in, putting in my 2 weeks. You know, what my coworkers were going to think putting in 2 weeks, like... Because I was doing well, you know, I was doing just fine. You could have looked at my performance, whatever I was contributing to the company, and you would have thought, this is the last person that we'd let go, you know. So why would you, at a time like this, choose to step out on your own?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think for me, mainly it was just, it was really hard because part of me was like, don't do it. Like, just stay in there, you know. There's a good amount of income. Everyone at work gets along with you for the most part, you know. And you believe in the mission, and it's the world's greatest product. I still think it is the world's greatest product, you know, even not working there. But it was just, I had to be really real with myself. I found moments where I woke up in the morning, and I didn't feel like coming in early. You know, I didn't feel like staying late. The drive that I had in the first 3.5 years kind of waned. And that's when I started pondering, asking myself more and more questions. And I think when you ask yourself those questions and you go layers, like 1, 2, 3, sometimes even 4 layers deep, that's when you really find what you really want and what you really don't want anymore. And for me, it was just, if you're struggling to wake up, you know, as early as you used to, and to show up to work on time or show up to work with a purpose, you know, with an energy about you, then that means to some extent you don't care as much as you do anymore, right? If you cared about something, you would give it your all. You would go all in on it. And I'm the kind of guy where if I can't go all in on something, it's all or nothing. I cannot half-ass something. Sometimes we go through life half-assing things, and I've learned from personal experience that when you half-ass something, you're neither being productive for yourself, you're neither being productive for others, you know? Mm-hmm. So you might as well just cut your losses and go into something that you can go into 100%,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so that kind of was my crossroads, and I was so terrified of putting in that 2 weeks. I literally sat at the computer trying to write the 2 weeks letter email for, I think, 2 weeks. Literally, the email had 3 lines. It was a great time, you know, working here.
Uh-huh.
I believe now is the time for me to step onto a new opportunity. You know, I had to keep it very neutral. Yeah. But it was just like, why was it so hard? Like, writing a 3-line email should not be this hard.
Yeah.
And I remember going into tears the night that I had sent the letter out, because it's like, there's no turning back after you click send, mm-hmm. right? This is in writing. Mm-hmm. You can't rescind. At least I'm not the type of person that would rescind, like, once I've hit the send button, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I know my manager or whatever, the HR, is going to see this, like, okay, so that's how it is, you know? And I have to face the fear and the uncertainty of the unknown. So for most people, I do not advise doing what I did, which is stepping out of a role and not having another job lined up. But the reason why I wanted to do that was because I wanted to try something different, but I didn't quite materialize that in my head at the time. I didn't know that what I was really looking for was to take a risk and to explore what I'm capable of, you know, outside of a corporate setting. Because a 9-to-5 is great if you want structure. It's great if you want a form of, I would say, temporary security, you know, but I don't think it is a means to an end. It is not the end that I desire. Mm-hmm. And so,
and how did you feel after, like, you left?
I was at first very saddened.
Mm-hmm.
Then I felt a moment of relief, like liberation.
Mm-hmm.
But then after like 1 to 2 weeks of boredom, then it really got to me. It was like, it's kind of like, what is it called? Cabin fever.
Mm-hmm.
Cabin fever is when you're in like a place secluded by yourself. So I was secluding myself at home. Really, I wasn't really interacting with people much. And you go into dark places during those moments, man. Like we're going to talk about yours, but the dark place, it's like, I think you've got to hit what we call rock bottom emotionally. It doesn't have to be financially,
mm-hmm.
but emotionally or psychologically to really break through. And when I hit that rock bottom moment, I would just think to myself, like, dude, you've got nothing going for you. You just turned 25. You're unemployed. You threw away the one thing that you thought you were passionate about, the one career path that you had. Like, that to me 3.5 years ago was the golden ticket, you know, whatever it takes at all costs. This is what I'm going to do to accomplish and reach that goal.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden, it's gone. Yeah. It's a weird feeling trying to run a race when you don't know where the race is going to take you,
mm-hmm.
and where the finish line is.
You know what's so crazy about what you just said there, yeah. is that, like, when you stripped away that work identity for yourself,
it's scary. You have an identity crisis.
You don't know who you are anymore.
I thought I knew who I was.
And you know, the fact that there was light shining on that says already a lot about what you needed, what we needed to work on, because I felt the same,
huh.
right? Like, we, at least in my experience, I'll share a very, almost the same path, because mm-hmm. Stuart and I, we used to both work for Tesla. Yes.
I actually got this guy in, and we both made a killing.
Yeah.
And we were trying to run our own ship, but, you know, I guess we're running a different ship now.
We're running a different ship, and I left for very, very, very similar reasons. And almost the exact same reasons, right? And for me personally, I've always wanted to pursue my own ventures, right? And I thought it was the time to do it. And like you said, I didn't see myself continuing to grow in the way that I wanted in the company. I love the company. It's a great product, right?
Of course, we wanted to succeed. Like, sustainable future is probably the most important thing that we need to solve in this century, you know?
But after I left, I went through something very, very similar, right? You feel you're struggling. You feel very uncertain. You don't know what to do next. You're like, it's almost like you can do anything, right? But at the same time, like, you can't do anything, right? And it's like a weird place. Something that I've done in the past to kind of like pull me out of that, in a sense, in different stages of my life, because I think I've gone through a few of these kinds of similar situations, is literally starting with the end in mind. And what I mean by that is, hey, look, we're 25 years old right now. Great. Right. This is a period. This is very young time in our lives. But let's think right now. Let's go far in the future. Mm-hmm. If you were 80 years old right now, sitting on a rocking chair, and you could accomplish anything you wanted in life, right? Everything you ever wanted is accomplished, and you're sitting there feeling super proud. What are those things?
Mm-hmm.
And you just write those things down, right? And then a second exercise that you could do too is, let's just imagine you're dead, right? And people show up at your funeral.
What would they say about you?
What would they say
about you? Who would show up?
Who would show up? What would they say about you? And then you put that as your end, right?
The ultimate finish line.
And that's kind of like your North Star, right? I think in life, a lot of your goals and your desires will change, right? Those material things could change. But at least you know, hey, I know ultimately I'm heading towards this
island. Your guiding compass is the ultimate end.
Yes.
Yeah.
So when you are in those moments of struggle, of uncertainty, I think it really helps the fact that you know where that light is. But if you don't, if you never done that for yourself, then you just feel
fear,
anxiety because of that uncertainty, right? And I think that's one really, really good exercise that I found to be really helpful as a guiding principle. Because once you have that, it's like, okay, if that's what I want when I'm 80, what should I be doing now? And then you kind of assign yourself tasks and you create ways to get to that, right? And then you learn and you get better along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong. There's going to be days where you're just like laying on the bed. Like
you're human. You're human. We're not machines and robots, you know, like,
and there's going to be days where you need rest.
We strive to be the best we can be. Mm-hmm. There are days where you're just not feeling it, but it's just what you do day in, day out, you know, consistently is what matters.
Mm-hmm.
And I think going back to the dark place, right, for you, at least, what kind of thoughts were you thinking to yourself specifically? Like, give a little bit of context too.
Oh yeah. I mean, like, very much similar to you, like you're going through the list, right? I'm a certain age. I'm 25 now. I was hoping that I would be here by now. For me personally, I created this fantasy of where I wanted to be at a certain age, right? And then I compare that against my reality. And that brings me down this rabbit hole of depression where I'm like,
because you're comparing yourself to someone, but that someone is your ultimate you.
Is my ultimate me. Yeah. And then I end up start doing a lot of negative self-talk. I start to feel like shit. I feel like
you're not worth enough.
Yeah. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. And I start hating myself. It's like literally self-hatred,
wow,
which is like the worst.
That's thing. A dark place to
it's
be.
It's a very dark place to be. And it's unproductive.
When did the light bulb shine? Or I guess, when did you come to a moment of peace, you know, from that dark place? When did you come to peace with that? Or are you still fighting it? Or are you finding yourself able to hone it better?
I think there's two things to that for me personally. And I'm, like I said, I'm still working through this because I still get those days. But then one is meditation and kind of identifying myself as a third person. And what I mean by that is saying like, oh, Kevin's trying to hate himself again. Or, oh, Kevin's going through this cycle again. It's going to pass. Just keep working.
So you find that the third person narrative actually helps you become more objective about things?
Yes, because it allows me to like say like, okay, there is another like true version of Kevin.
Like you're a narrator, the the omnipotent.
Exactly.
Kevin, reading the story of Kevin.
It's really weird, right?
And then you get to decide.
Yeah.
No, that's really cool.
Yeah.
I think a lot of what you're doing
that
works for you, maybe sometimes it works against us, is the power of visualization and the power to detach yourself physically from who you think you are.
Yeah.
Because I think we were talking about identity crisis a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
And I think what I was struggling with was the identity crisis. Mm. You have to shed the layers, remove the labels, you know? And that is a subtle way of basically saying you don't give a fuck about what other people think. Mm. I think the reason why we have labels, the reason why we have a self-imposed identity is because we give too much fucks about what other people think.
I agree.
It's so hard.
Yeah.
Because if you truly didn't care about what other people expect you to be, what other people want you to be, what you think you should be, then you don't have to be bound and constricted by these labels that you give yourself, right?
100%. It's very hard.
It's hard.
But I think detaching yourself kind of gives you like...
humbles yourself too.
It humbles yourself and it helps you like navigate those emotions. Like, oh, like Kevin's like feeling dramatic again. You know what I mean? And then you kind of just...
this will pass.
This will pass.
Yeah.
And the second thing I wanted to bring up too, I heard a quote recently. I followed this like newsletter and it was like a really good quote, right? Mm-hmm. And it said, I'm not going to say it word for word, but it was just,
paraphrasing.
I don't remember. Paraphrasing, right?
Yeah.
But it says something around the lines of like, the reason you feel lost is because you're focusing on what you don't have, right? And when you focus so much on what you don't have and what you're unhappy with, then you ultimately will be limitlessly lost and limitlessly unhappy.
You're going to go to that dark place.
You're going to go to that dark place really quick. But if you focus on all the things that you're good at and you focus on all the things that you had and all the things that you've achieved, that gives you at least a sense of direction as to what you can continue to do in the future and the way you can make an impact on the future, right? I think oftentimes it's so easy to see what's missing in your life and who you're not and what you don't have yet. And there will be so much more of that than what you have. But if you only focus on that, you're going to just end up being lost and sad for the rest of your life.
It's like that one negative thing outweighs the other 99 positive things.
Yeah.
But right. You should really be viewing life the other way around.
Yeah, you should focus on everything that you do have and be grateful for that. And then triple down and double down on those strengths, on the things that you are good at, and finding a way to contribute and add value and serve others with those talents that you have and foster them. And so I think with those two things, just kind of reminding myself of that and then using like the third person voice helps me so much.
It helps you a lot.
To get out of that place really quick. Because you're going to end up in that place like some days. But then it's like, how fast can you get out of there?
I think that's so true, because what I've done to help exercise that muscle, I don't really do the narrative, the third person narrative technique, but I just ask myself the question multiple times technique. I'll ask the same question over and over again so that I can get to the root
of
what's really bothering me. Like, oh, you know, Stuart feels bad, or Stuart feels down today.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why is that? Because he thinks other people don't think he's enough. Well, why does he think that?
Interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
Because his whole life, he's been told that he has to have this level of achievement, or he feels that he needs to have this level of achievement.
Mm-hmm.
And you ask yourself, well, why is that? Well, what happens if you don't achieve that?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's like, and it really just came down to one word. And that one word for me was regret. Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually, for me at least, I found that it was the regret that outweighs the expectation. Mm. The expectation is just the external noise bothering you. But the regret is the internal voice screaming at you. Mm. Like, dude, I think that's why you sometimes, like, you know, you hate yourself is because of that regret. The word is regret.
Mm.
And I think we were talking about struggling and we were talking about uncertainty. So we've kind of covered our struggling bits. You know, we put it out in the open for everyone. But now we're going to talk about how to overcome that uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the point in time when you know that it's time for you to cross that uncertainty, face your fears, is when that regret, that fear of regret is so huge that it outweighs everything.
Mm.
You know, that I have to do something. Like, procrastination is not the way to be. Being in limbo, being uncertain, being unsure is no longer an acceptable answer because of the fear of regret.
Mm.
You know, at least that's where I'm at mentally right now in terms of this self-discovery process after being out of what I thought was my self-identity is the regret piece.
I'm reading this book right now, written by this guru, Sadhguru.
Sadhguru.
Yeah. It's a book called Inner Engineering. And if you're feeling uncertain or struggling, I'd highly, highly recommend this book. I literally cannot put it down right now. I'm like a quarter way through.
How long is the book?
I don't think it's that long. I literally just started maybe reading for a couple hours and I'm like a quarter way through.
Okay.
So I don't think it's that bad.
We done in a week or so.
Yeah. All right. I'm not like the fastest reader in the world, but like it's, I don't think it's that long. I bought the Kindle, so it's not like I have the book to kind of dictate it.
Okay. Okay.
But in the book, Sadhguru says something very interesting that I think is very related to this whole idea of uncertainty, right? He says, like, up and down, that's subjective, depending on where you're looking. Left and right, that's also subjective, right? Whether something is good or bad, that's also subjective, right? You're watching this video right now. Is this video happening in front of you on whatever device you're watching it or listening to it, if you're listening to it, right? Or is it happening inside of your head, right? Is this experience that you're listening to or watching inside of you, happening inside of you, or is it happening outside of you? The truth of the matter is, it's happening inside of you. The images that you're seeing, the audio that you're listening to, is all happening within you.
It's being processed within you.
It's being processed within you, right? And the truth of the matter is, nothing can be truth or fact outside of that, right? And everything outside of you can almost never happen, not always happen your way, right? It's impossible. Not everything can go your way that's outside of your control. Almost everything is outside of your control, right? The only thing you can control is how you interpret it within, right? And almost everything happens within, right? Your emotions that you feel, the responsibility that you feel, all of that. I think all of that kind of dictates your experience, right? And so in that book, it dives a little bit more deeper into that. But kind of coming back to this is like, with the idea knowing that you have full control of the experience that you have, and you know everything else in the world is going to be uncertain, then it's like, then just focus on
controlling what
you can control. Exactly.
That's so true. How many times have you seen where the same event happens to two different people?
Mm-hmm.
Exact same thing, but two people respond differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one is the person that looks at it and thinks, woe is me, my life is miserable.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one's thinking, wow, I'm pretty fortunate, that could have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But the exact same thing happens to you, the exact same incident. And I'll give you an example. Like, recently, I got my car smashed in. I got my car robbed.
Crazy. Right?
Like a window just like straight through.
Mm-hmm.
And I was only gone for 10 minutes. I could have thought, I am the most unlucky person in my life. Why am I the only car in the whole like parking space that got robbed this evening, right? Then I go to the police station to report the incident. And the most interesting thing that I like listening to people's conversations. It's almost like eavesdropping, but I saw this couple. They looked very, very stressed and very panicked. And they came in and they were basically reporting to the officers that they were really stressed, and they're reporting to the officers that their daughter's missing. And I thought to myself, well, who am I to complain about a smashed glass? No one got hurt. No one got robbed. You know, luckily I didn't get robbed. And fortunately, it was the smallest window in the car, right? And here's this couple that has a daughter that they haven't been able to find for a day or 2 days. And that really put perspective in my mind that, like, yeah, you really have nothing to complain about with your car being smashed in. It's going to cost you some money to repair, but no one's been hurt. Material possessions can be repaired, you know, but a lost family member, man, they're having it a lot worse.
Yeah.
You know,
puts it a lot into perspective.
Perspective. And it could be a lot worse, you know, or just think on the positive side that, hey, like, it's actually not as bad as it really is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just kind of the first thing that came to my head when you were talking about how you process something that doesn't go your way.
Yeah. Yeah. And the truth of the matter is like, no matter how much planning you do, no matter how good you are, nothing is ever guaranteed in life except for death.
Yeah.
Right. And sounds morbid, but what you can't control is how you interpret the experiences that happen in your daily life.
How many happy moments you could have in this life.
And that's 100% in your control.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's really, honestly, that's the only thing that matters. Right. Like, you can have all these material things, but feel unhappy. And it at the end of the day, what for if you feel unhappy? Right.
Yeah.
And so I think with that in mind, it's like, although you may feel uncertain about the future, well, of course, you can't predict the future. Right. So just shift it and kind of turn inward and say, okay, A, what do I have? Right. And what can I control currently? And that's myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anything else you want to add to, you know,
what do you have? What do you control?
Yeah.
And then lastly is, what do you want to do?
Mm.
I think what you want to do is so important.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not doing something that you care about, that you truly want to do, there's nothing else you'd rather do at this moment. You're not living life in a way that's going to make you truly happy.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the only last piece I would add to it.
100%. Well, awesome. Thanks for listening and watching, guys. We really appreciate you supporting us. If you like content like this, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Also press that bell icon next to it if you'd like to be notified whenever we have new posts. And if you're listening to it, we'd really appreciate if you leave a review. It really helps us get more exposure to listeners like yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And until next time, guys.
Thank you, guys.